Text for our meditation this morning comes from John chapter 13. We'll read selected verses. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him, and therefore he said, "You are not all clean." Dear friends in Christ, our account this morning takes place on the evening of Thursday. That's Monday, Thursday evening. So just 4 days before that was when Jesus had ridden into town on a donkey as the people laid their palms and their garments on the road before him. That was Palm Sunday. And then he spent the first 3 days of the week preaching and teaching, going in and out of the city. And that led up to this Monday, Thursday, when Jesus would be betrayed. Now, early in the morning, Jesus had sent his disciples John and Peter into the town so that they could prepare the room for the Passover meal to be celebrated. And now finally it was evening, and Jesus and his disciples were finally all together, gathered around what would be their final meal together. Let's read that first verse again. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Though his disciples did not realize it at this point, Jesus would soon be leaving them. And so he took this opportunity, one of the last times he would spend with his disciples, to show his love for them, to put his love into action, and wash their feet. He loved them to the end. But he didn't just love them in this act of washing feet, but ultimately in his final act on the cross. Now it was the custom of the time, when you enter into a house, when you're about to eat a meal, that you would have your feet washed. You remember people would wear sandals in those day and age, and the roads were made of dirt, so your feet got quite dirty. Now, as usual, that this would be a servant's task, to wipe the people's feet clean. And it wouldn't be a very fun job, would it? Bending down at someone's feet and washing their hands of the dirt, or washing their feet of the dirt with your bare hands. But on this night, there were no servants present. It's because the Passover was a private meal, one that was just celebrated amongst your inner circle. And the servants were probably at their own Passover meals elsewhere. And so if the disciples were to have their feet washed that night, someone would have to take up that menial task by themselves and wash everyone else's feet. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So Jesus is described here as knowing that the Father had put all things into his hands. Reminds me of Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So we have Jesus, the one who's described as having all authority, all power, all things were in his hands from the Father. And he knew that pretty soon he would be leaving this earth to be rejoined to his Father in all glory in heaven. And so what does our all-powerful Savior do? He lowers himself to a position of a slave and washes his disciples' feet. This is really a remarkable act that is being described for us. When the Almighty God takes the job of a servant for the sake of mere men. That is love at work. And of course, in no act is this more true than the entire reason why Jesus came to earth in the first place. Philippians 2 lays this out for us. Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So in our account on this Monday, Thursday evening, we see Jesus, true God, kneeling down and taking up the job of a slave and washing his disciples' feet. In the same way, we see Jesus, true God, coming down to earth and taking up the form of a slave and washing the entire world of their sin through his death on the cross. This is true love. This is the love that Jesus was showing his disciples that night, not just in washing their feet physically, but in spiritually pointing to that removal of all their sins through his death on the cross. So this was the meaning of the washing of feet. And of course, we see from Peter's rash responses that Peter didn't quite understand that. But in Jesus' responses to Peter, he makes it clear that he was thinking about this spiritual washing. Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, you have no part of me." Notice he doesn't say, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part of me." That wouldn't really make much sense. Rather, he says, "If I do not wash you." Jesus is not talking about the physical washing, but the spiritual washing. This is the same washing, the same cleansing that is spoken about in Ezekiel when God speaks through the prophet. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." And then Jesus tells his disciples, "If you don't let me wash you, if you will not be cleansed from your sins, you have no part of me." They would be separated from Christ forever. So you can imagine how foolish Peter must have felt at this moment, because just before that he had said, "You shall never wash my feet, Lord." Yeah, it was a foolish thing to say. And of course, we all act like Peter at times, don't we? We all share this same attitude of Peter, where there are times when we try to refuse Jesus' washing. There are times we don't think we need that washing from our sins, or at least, you know, maybe not as much as someone else. There are times we'd rather wash our own feet by making it up to God somehow. Sometimes we try to barter with God over our sins, saying, "God, I know that I messed up this time, but I promise I'll try harder in the future." As if somehow that promise is what makes us pleasing in God's sight. But no, we can't downplay our sins, can we? We can't say, "Oh, my feet aren't that dirty, or at least I'm not as dirty as the next guy." No, as we look down at ourselves, we don't just see our feet dirtied. Rather, we see our entire nature muddied up with the manure and the muck of our sinful flesh. This is a filth that none of us can wash away. Rather, there's only one cleansing source available for us. And thanks be to God for sending us the Holy Spirit and giving us faith and leading us to that cleansing source, Jesus Christ. And just as you can't go a day without showering and expect to stay clean and not getting stinky and smelly, in the same way, may we continually go to Jesus in repentance and looking for that cleansing from our sins. Don't try to refuse that washing as Peter did. Rather, may we turn to the Lord in repentance daily and confidently express in the words of the psalmist, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Jesus has forgiven you of your sins. He has washed away all of your iniquity. Just as he loved his disciples to the end, in the same way he loves you to the end as well. Believe in this promise from our Lord. And because we have been washed clean of the dirtiness of our guilt and sin, Now God looks at us and declares us not guilty in His sight. So thanks be to God who has cleansed us from all of our condemnation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll close by singing hymn 157, verses 1, 4, and 5. 157, 1, 4, and 5.